Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Rams fans, welcome in. On this edition of Rams Showcase, cuts weren't the only roster moves making headlines out of the Rams this week. Plus, speaking of cuts, who's actually sticking around? And later, I'll answer your Rams-related questions in our Fan Queso segment. Let's rock.
This is Rams Showcase with your host, Sheriff Joe Bags.
Yes, welcome to it. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This is Rams Showcase at Rams Showcase at Sheriff Joe Bags. That's where you can follow along on socials and ramshowcase.com. Got some cool stuff headed your way there. I have added one person. I don't know how long this will be, but at least one awesome feature coming out headed your way soon. Details to come. I don't really want to give away too much about that right now, but I can tell you this, I'm extremely excited to check this out, so that's going to be really cool. I will share again the Payo Time Pick'em League in the description below, no matter where you can hear or see me. Hop on into that. Winner at the end of the year gets a jersey. That's absolutely awesome. Hop on in. It's super easy. All you got to do is pick football games, right? That's absolutely awesome. No update on a uniform schedule yet. I'm just trying to get ahead on my graphics here a little bit, but Rams not helping me out so much right now on that. So hopefully we'll get that soon. One thing we did get, though, rather recent, was the announcement of captains. This is actually pretty awesome. So on offense, not a lot of surprises. No special teams captains, which kind of surprises me, but I'm also, I feel like we just know Ethan Evans is kind of the leader of that group right now, and I don't know if that will become like official at any point here soon, but it kind of sounds like the Rams want to do like a little bit of a floating captain. It's kind of basically, I mean, the conversation from McVay about captains was pretty quick, and he had been frustrated in that press conference like already from a previous question, which, I mean, I get it. The question was kind of like, hey, man, read the room a little bit, but read the Zoom, if you will, a little bit on that one. So either way, so we got Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Rob Havenstein representing that captain patch on the offense. And we've got second year man Kobe Turner, as well as Quentin Lake representing the captains on the defensive side of the football. Kobe Turner, definitely a fan favorite and obviously a team favorite if the players are voting the dude a captain, which is absolutely awesome. And Quentin Lake, I think that the Rams coaching staff is the only grouping that is not undervaluing Quentin Lake. I'm getting there myself now, but I will say that overall in the Rams fan landscape, the Rams fanscape, that it doesn't seem like many people are giving Quentin Lake a lot of love or credit. But I think that if I had to pick one player, one on this entire roster who I think will break out, I'm going with Quentin Lake. I think that there's other options that we could pick, like a DeMarcus Robinson, maybe a Colby Parkinson. They'll be so sick if like a Hunter Long just exploded and is like the sickest tight end in the NFL or something like that. But Quentin Lake, he is the safest bet for a breakout star, and I'm going to go with him anyway. So that's pretty fun stuff. So let's go ahead. Before we talk about my cuts and how I did there, we will dive into a story that, well, this took the Rams fans by storm this week. A heavy topic when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams. Ernest Jones this week does officially get traded. The LA Rams trade Linebacker Ernest Jones, along with a 2026 sixth-round pick, that is conditional, that does help, I guess, to the Tennessee Titans in return for a 2026 fifth-round pick. So not only do we not see Ernest Jones this season as a member of the Rams, I got his jersey this offseason too. I gotta stop doing that, man. I gotta stop doing it. Get former players only, man. What are you doing? I learn this lesson every time, man. Every time. I was so confident, though, in Ernest Jones sticking around. But either way, I got his jersey sitting in my closet now. I guess we'll hang on to that bad boy, and it'll be cool in the future. But either way, I think that like these picks now are so far out that we're probably going to forget. We'll be like, oh, yeah, that was the Ernest Jones trade, right? Like, yeah, I feel like that's going to be the situation. But this is pretty far out as far as the returns go. And, well, I mean, let's just go ahead and dive into it. I think we're all asking the same question. What the heck happened here? That was exactly my question. I'm still asking this question, okay? So one day, randomly, a person who doesn't normally break Rams news, he tells us that the Rams have given Ernest Jones permission to seek a trade. Later that day, Ernest Jones lets us know, hey, I never asked for a trade. With a shrug, hey, I didn't do that. I didn't ask for a trade. The following day, the Rams site kind of went radio silent on us for a little bit, but the following day, McVay confirms that, yeah, Ernest Jones did not ask for a trade, but we've been having conversations with other teams involving Ernest Jones for a possible trade. The very next day after that, Ernest Jones, we get the notification that the Rams and the Titans have agreed to terms on trade and officially went through today, which is Wednesday, on a date of recording, but not just traded to Tennessee, but essentially handed to Tennessee. What feels like obligatory picks just kind of added on, because otherwise it's not a trade if you're just giving them Ernest Jones and not receiving anything. That's not a trade. So we had to get something back, I suppose, is a silver lining there. But either way, McVay tells us in a press conference that this was a football decision we felt was best for our football team. Another quote is, he was great for us for a few years, but we felt like this was the best for our football team, which tells us there is so much more to this story than we know. There is so much more to this story than we know. Is it ever inherently best for your football team when a guy who just broke the single season tackle record in your franchise's history and is just 24 years old, probably not in his prime. In fact, I'd argue he broke out last season, entering his prime, with the knowledge that we have as fans. Okay? Look, I love Sean, Les, Tony. Tony Pastores, I love these guys. I think we are run by some incredible people in the Rams front office. This franchise is run real well and by great guys. But there's no way that we're looking at that 2026 draft pick being like, hey, there's a guy, though, that could probably fall to this round. Let's try to get up into five. You know, that's not real. So this tells us it's an Ernest Jones thing. This is on the side of Jones, not draft picks. We don't care about moving a five or a six to a five, dude. This is about Ernest Jones. Okay, that much we kind of do know. My issue with this all is right now. We've already played all of our preseason games. We're trying to gear up and start talking about the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. And now we're talking about losing a team captain, our inside linebacker. Now? Like right now. I not only just getting surprised by this information, but right now we get this information. Late August. By the way, you remember when you were down to only one captain returning from last year? Yeah, that's gone. New DC, all new captains. Good to go. You're fine, right? So now is where I'm kind of getting, my brain is having a hard time with that. Right now, what happened? What the heck happened here? Back to my original question. So when I posted this information, I had kind of passed it along on Ram Showcase on the Facebook page, and all of the comments. I don't know if there was a positive comment. I think there was one or two that said like addition by subtraction. Which, I mean, fine. Based on Sean McVay's comments, that's kind of what we have to evaluate off of, right? But ultimately, all of the comments were, you know, Les Snead needs to be kicked out of the room in trade conversations. Okay, get him out of here. Why are the Rams always just getting fleeced in trades? A lot I will say mainly is, Ben, we shouldn't have expected more, because why would we? The Rams always get smoked in trades. So it's kind of made me want to look into the trade history since the Super Bowl loss. I feel like that's fair. Since the Super Bowl loss, when the Rams really decided to pick at their roster in a way that was a little bit different, I feel like that was a real turning point for the Rams. You lose the Super Bowl and it was like, okay, we weren't good enough. What do we got to do? And then some moves started happening. So, trade compensation, I would say, the word that I would use when I'm looking at the Rams trade compensation, I would say alarming. It is alarming when it comes to the Rams front office, what they are willing to accept in a trade. Fans everywhere are noting that the Rams are regularly getting fleeced in trades, which, historically speaking, since returning to LA, is absolutely true. Let's talk examples with the most recent Ernest Jones, a captain and a green dot, and a future 6 for a future 5. Robert Woods was traded for a 6, Brandon Cooks, and a 4th for a 2, which does seem decent, but Cooks also was traded 3 times for a first-round pick, including one from the Rams to acquire him. Ben Skowronek and a 7 for a 6, Van Jefferson and a 7 for a 6, Cam Akers for a 7 and a 6, Allen Robinson for a 7 and a 7 for a 7, Jalen Ramsey for a 3rd, and Hunter Long, Kenny Young and a 7 for a 6, Michael Brockers for a 7, Aqib Talib and a 5 for a 7, and Tavon Austin for a 6, in which the Rams drafted Jamil Demby. Definitely lost that trade, retroactively speaking here, right? Because at the time, you never know, that 6 could be, you know, your Yapukas or somebody like that, you know what I mean? So either way, what we do know is that this team, though, is player-friendly, okay? So these trades all sound bad. A lot of insert player and a 7th-round pick for a 6th-round pick. The Rams are good in late rounds, so whatever. I'm fine with that. Especially like 5s and 6, Rams crush those picks. Maybe it's a scattershot kind of situation because we have so many 6th-round picks because of all these trades. Maybe like odds are like, yeah, you're eventually going to hit on some. But this is also a very player-friendly team, like I'd mentioned. Let's give the benefit of the doubt here. Let's say the Rams make a bunch of phone calls to other teams and say, hey, this player is a guy that we're thinking about moving. What would you offer? And then you take all of that information and bring just the teams to the player, because the trade value for the player, they don't care about the trade value. So you bring those teams to the player and say, where of these teams would you like to go? And if Ernest Jones says, I'd rather go to Tennessee, do you kind of take that as like a, okay, and then you call Tennessee and maybe they're just as surprised. Maybe Les is originally talking to Tennessee and they're thinking like, we don't really want to spend money on a linebacker right now. Maybe we're doing this, whatever. So like the best I can do for you, man, is I would be willing to drop a 5 and go back to the 6. Maybe that's the best that they could do. And Ernest Jones, when he said that, maybe Tennessee gets a call and said, hey, yeah, we'll do it. And they're like, wait, for real? Like, maybe. But we also know, though, that that's not unheard of that the Rams do that. Robert Woods chose Tennessee. We know that. He told us that. He said, I feel like Tennessee is going to be the best position for me to, you know, continue on with my career. We know that he chose Tennessee. We don't know what the other offers were or anything, but we know he chose Tennessee. Let's look at the flip side, where the Rams aren't unloading players and instead trying to add in assets, okay? So let's take a look. Sammy Watkins and a 6 for EJ Gaines and a 2. The Rams losing EJ Gaines and a 2. Sammy Watkins and a 6. Rams acquired Marcus Peters and a 6 for a 2 and a 4. Aqib Talib for a 5. Brandon Cooks and a 4 for a 1 and a 6. Dante Fowler for a 3 and a 5. Jalen Ramsey for 2 1s and a 4. Austin Corbett for a 5. Marcus Peters for Kenny Young and a 5. That was when we got rid of Kenny Young instead of acquiring that was bringing in Kenny Young, getting rid of Peters. My bad. Oh, wait. I messed up. Okay. No, my brain is right. Okay. Marcus Peters coming in for Kenny Young and a 5. Matthew Stafford coming in for Jared Goff, 2 1s and a 3. Sony Michel for a 4 and a 6. Von Miller for a 2 and a 3. Troy Hill for a 5. Kevin Dotson, and a 5-6 for a 5-4. So I think we can say that we got really good value in KDOT and Austin Corbett. I think that those guys and what they brought to this team those trades. Austin Corbett for a 5, we absolutely overplayed a 5. Like, he got more value for us than that. Kevin Dotson, back on second contract, dude. He's back around making good money now, and he's awesome at right guard. So we do have some good value there, but ultimately, a lot of overpaying in this list. A lot of overpaying in this list to bring guys in. And I think that we can forgive some of the 2021 trades. Stafford, toss that one out. Both teams won that trade, okay? Jared Goff fits better in Detroit. Matthew Stafford won a ring in L.A. That both works out. Sonny Michel, Von Miller, I mean, get them out of here. Those are exceptions to this because Rams were going for it at that time, all right? Rams were going for it. So, where does this put us now? I think that, simply put, when the Rams make a trade, the history tells us that the other team got the better deal. Since returning to Los Angeles, almost all trades, unless they're just picks, if there's players involved, on paper, value-wise, it always tends to look, most of the time at least, that the other team got the better deal than the Rams. But here's what I know. These trades date back to after the Rams lost their Super Bowl to the Patriots. And since then, the Rams have been back to the playoffs more times than they had missed, and they've won a Super Bowl. Do the Rams get wrecked in trades sometimes? Yeah. Yeah, they do. But they've also built a pretty damn good football team. And I will say that since the arrival of Sean McVay 2017, I think that this is the longest stretch that the Rams have been relevant, probably in their history. If I had to pick one thing, because no team is great at everything, it doesn't exist. But if I had to pick one thing to be bad at, it's probably trades, dude. This is the NFL. We just don't see trades that often. In fact, whenever there is a trade, it is big news, even when that is a backup player, because that's how little they happen. If we got to be bad at one thing, I would choose trades over anything else, like contract structures, like some teams are bad at, drafting, like some teams are bad at, developing players and coaches, that some teams are bad at. Offensive ingenuity, some teams just don't get it. Could be worse. Could be worse. In fact, it has been worse. Almost all the time, it's been worse. So, I say all that to say this, man. I kind of echo a little bit of what Andrew Whitworth took to X to kind of pass along. This team knows what they're doing. And if Sean McVay, who I don't think lies to us, I do think that his truth is chosen specifically. And typically we know more from the words that Sean McVay doesn't say than the words that he does say. But I will echo what Andrew Whitworth said on X, and I kind of summarize this because I don't really read through too much of that. There is some online drama that I just don't like to get into. But ultimately, this team knows what they're doing. This is a damn good football team. We're entering a season where the Rams are going to be fighting for the division and possibly a Super Bowl. Around the NFL, we also know that if you look at the top five teams that pay linebackers, the top five salaries for linebackers and their teams, those aren't playoff teams. Where at the bottom of that, the cheapest linebacker groups include the Chiefs, the Bills, like some very, very good teams. Rams 25th on that list. Playoff team, Super Bowl caliber team. So, this team lost a player that was a captain, record breaker last year, motivator, leader of this team. But I think I'm sitting here today after this trade has happened with the depth that the Rams have at this position, with guys who both have experience and have some very exciting youthful energy in this grouping, I'm not sure that Sean McVay is lying. I'm not sure that we really got that much worse, if at all. Because the way that this is all coming out, some of the stuff that Whitworth was saying, some of the stuff that McVay said, kind of seems to me like we got out at the right time on Ernest Jones. Time will tell, but maybe that injury is worse than we thought. Maybe there's some other motivational things that are going on behind closed doors that we don't have access to that are worse than we thought. I think I stand by the Rams on this one, guys. If we got to be bad at trades and nothing else, I'm kind of here for it. We'll take a quick break here on the other side. Talk about how bad I did on my roster picks. That's next.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, break time is over. We're going to keep this one light now and fun and have a good time because we're done with the negative stuff, man, all right? I feel like this week has been super weird for the Rams fans, a very emotional week for the Rams fans. But hey, guess what? We got the 2024 LA Rams that we're getting into. Going into this season, we start against the team that knocked us out in the playoffs, and that's a super exciting. Then we go to a team that we regularly kind of beat up on, so that's very exciting. Then home opener against the 49ers, man. So we're not going to dwell on things that are over anymore, all right? We're talking about these 2024 Rams who, by all indications, are actually going to be a pretty sick team, albeit young. And I will say, I do think that this team starts a little bit slow, especially on the defensive side of the football. A lot of moving pieces there, a lot of newbies coming in the secondary, and that does kind of make me worried about like the Detroit game early where, I mean, they've got continuity there. It's as far as their passing attack goes and all that stuff. So we might have some miscommunications there. Although, ultimately, I do trust this team to at least put together their best performance in week one. I mean, that is what I'll say. I feel very confident about that. And even if the Rams do come out on the bad side of that one, I would hope to meet them again because I think the Rams team, much like last year, will be much better in those last few games than they were in their first few games. So I guess, I don't know, we kind of started decent, but there was a stretch in there that was kind of rough. But I mean, I hammered that drum hard last year that the Rams are going to get better as the season went on. I think that is going to be the same thing for this year, but I think that's going to be more geared towards the defense. I think the offense will be okay to start the year. So let's get into our 53-man roster officially set up and fluid because an NFL roster is never complete. It is an ever-evolving mechanism that you are never fully just done. You'll never get to a point where you're like, this is it. This is the roster. Because then, you know, somebody's going to get hurt and you're going to bring somebody else in or somebody's going to have, like, contract stuff's going to happen or whatever. So it's an ever-evolving mechanism. And we've already, since the cuts happened, we've already seen some shakeups here. I don't know. Okay, no, I didn't write every name on here. I just kind of put it in there. Because, like, you get a late change in, like, Corey Durden getting dropped late, you know, but he did make the initial 53. So, like, stuff like that, man, that can happen. So let's go ahead and get into our comparisons here based on my picks, my roster cut picks from last week. And now we'll know how correct I am. So at quarterback, nailed it. Absolutely nailed that one. Love to see it. Stafford coming in. Obviously, Bennett's number two. Until Jimmy Garoppolo comes back around, and we'll see what happens with Stetson Bennett. But I would assume he'll just kind of get bumped down to the practice squad, or you're inactive on game days, because that's a very realistic option for Stetson as well. At the running back spot, blew this one entirely. So I did nail Kyren and Blake. I'll take that credit, thank you. But I said that Ronnie Rivers was the one getting cut. Ronnie Rivers was the only one to stay. And that was just my misunderstanding of the lack of reps that Ronnie Rivers was having in preseason. In fairness, that's all it was. That was just lack of my understanding of why they would keep him out of those games. So it was just, that's it. I just kind of misinterpreted how that was going. But to see Boston Scott and Zach Evans cut, that did kind of surprise me a little bit. We'll talk about the practice squad here soon. Zach Evans, though, back on that. Tight end. Nailed it. I said that Parkinson, Long, and Davis would start the season with Higbee sticking around, but on either PUP or IR. That's exactly what happened. Wide receiver, I really thought we would stick with seven here. I guessed that Xavier Smith would stay. That was the only change that did not happen. So that I got everybody else right, but I added in Xavier Smith, and he didn't make it. So on the initial 53. Offensive line, I did miss Logan Bruss. I did make that pick. I felt pretty good about it, but I mean, it's okay. I'm totally fine being wrong, though. That is a big thing with me, is whatever. I don't know, dude. Connor McDermott, Warren McClendon, who I don't even think I mentioned, in fairness. As I like looked back, I was like, did I even bring him up? and then AJ Jackson is serving his suspension. KT Leviston as well, placed on IR, designated to return. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not sure what that'll do as far as the shakeup of a McClendon, a McDermott, those kind of guys, when we get everybody back into the fold here. Defensive line, I was absolutely correct. Larrell Murchison, though. Not Larrell, by the way, Larrell, did get placed on IR. So he is technically staying, but he's not on the 53. But I did have him sticking around. Linebacker, in my defense, if I knew there was going to be a huge shakeup with the captain of this group, my picks all would have been different, I think. But Roseboom, Hummel, Reeder, Spates, and Neal all staying. We got five inside linebackers now. I projected the Rams to keep three. And I wasn't even confident in that. but definitely surprised that the entire group stays except for Jones. In fact, if you would have said that to me when I was making my picks, I'd be like, get out of here. Get out of here with all your madness, man. But that is exactly what happened. I also said Brennan Jackson would be cut, but that was more keeping numbers in other groups than keeping him around. But Brennan Jackson sticking around, which makes total sense. I also think that schematic fit-wise, Brennan Jackson, I think, is in the right spot. Maybe I was getting a little bit greedy in my picks when I said Brennan Jackson. I think that's, like, in my brain, it was like, well, I got to put him somewhere, but I'm already at 53 kind of thing. It's like, ah, this is a age guy. You know, that's one of those. But, yeah, that was, I mean, if anybody got the linebacker predictions correct, I got to know your secrets, dude. I got to know something more, because what the heck? Because, yeah, that was definitely a surprise. With Jones being the only one not coming back here. We also know that Troy Reeder and Christian Roseboom are the ones getting the comments from Sean McVay. I would expect that we will see a good amount of Troy Reeder, but I do expect Roseboom to be a bit of a regular viewer in the defense. And Omar Spates as well. I would expect him to start getting some reps in there. And, I mean, I don't want to jump the gun here, okay? He's a UDFA who had a really strong preseason, but, I mean, what if, dude? What if? What if he comes in and is now, like, the next awesome guy? I think number 48 is weird on any football player. I just can't think, like, outside of, like a Steven Davis. It's like, I don't know, 48, dude, who wears that? No hate, but you know what? Hey, 53 is open, dude. So, yeah. Defensive back, I did miss Josh Wallace, Charles Wood, and Jalen McCullough, all UDFAs sticking around. So hard to really evaluate and assess a UDFA. I mean, obviously we have access to the same amount of information than if they're drafted, but you're kind of behind the eight ball as UDFA. So to see three in the secondary sticking around, that's good news, dude, because this grouping is also coached by Aubrey Pleasant, who I have massive amounts of respect for. I think Aubrey Pleasant is one of the top tier coaches on our coaching staff. And a future head coach somewhere. I mean, he's going to get got by us, and that's going to be unfortunate, but he deserves it, and I'll root for him forever, man. It's Aubrey, will you just be my friend already? Darian Kendrick and Trey Tomlinson added to IR. I didn't even know Tomlinson got hurt. I saw him knock some dude on his pockets, though, against the Texans, and that guy went out of the game. Tomlinson just walked to the sideline, but that was the only thing I really caught from that one. I did not see him go down. Overall, I give myself a B. All right. I don't think that's too bad. I don't think that's too over the top to give myself a B when I'm talking about my picks here. I did nail some positions. All right. In fairness there, I did nail some of them. The easy ones, in fairness, and I ruined linebacker and running back completely. But that's why I'm not going B plus or anything. See, there's reasonings here, and I'm fair on myself. But either way, give myself a B. I feel like it's overall, I did okay. I will never get 100%. Neither will you. And that's also why mock drafts are not a thing that's ever real. That's why roster cut predictions is something we all hit all the time. And one thing that I will never hit, and I'm so glad Payo brought this up to me today I'm so glad that somebody else feels a way. There's like certain kinds of content that I can't stand. Mock drafts, one of them. Anything fantasy football related, I think it's just, it's like, who cares, dude? Like, did the real Rams win? Then I don't care about my fantasy team. Even. I don't care at all. I just want the Rams to win football games. But mock drafts, because I think that they're a waste of space. I think that they're, I don't think they're very useful. I just don't really see the purpose in a mock draft at all. And I get, you're sitting there right now. Somebody's sitting there right now. I'd be like, yeah, but it gives us an idea. But no, it doesn't. It's just some random dude's picks, all right? That's never going to be accurate. Never even going to be close. So there's all that stuff. But I will say that when we see our team take the field in Detroit for week one, probably going to be a little bit different than we already see it now. We're already seeing some changes happen. Like I had mentioned, Durden, who I did have, let me see, did I have him picked to get cut? No, I did have Durden sticking around, which I was technically right on, but then the Rams did add to that grouping there. So also want to take a peek real quick at the practice squad for the LA Rams, the initial practice squad. We're going to be very precise on initial in this conversation, as that's all it is, dude. It's the initial. We'll probably change it. Zach Van Valkenburg, the sickest name in the NFL, practice squad. Zach Evans making his return in there. Sam Wiglis, Keir Thomas, Jason Taylor II, Drake Stoops, Xavier Smith, Mike McAllister, Tuli Letulegesanoa, Cam Lampkin. Cam Lampkin had a really underrated preseason, by the way. That guy was flying around. Nikola Kalinich. Sean Jolly, Tanner Engel, Miller Forrestall, who I fully anticipated getting picked up by another team, but I'm happy to see him stick around. Justin Dedich and AJ Arcuri, who I also had sticking around, but is at least on the practice squad. I'll take that as a, not even a half win, a 10% win. 10% win, because he did get cut. And the Rams also did claim off of waivers running back Cody Schrader from the 49ers. And that's an interesting pick up because Boston Scott leaving, Schrader was doing kick returns for the 49ers. So don't be surprised if we actually see Schrader being active come game days when the Rams are taking the field officially, because now we are turning our attention to the regular season. Pumped about that, dude. I'm so pumped about it. I also got ahead of myself last week, by the way. I had mentioned that I was like, oh, dude, we're getting into game previews next week. It's going to be fire. And then I forgot that my brain was just getting too ahead of myself. I misplaced this whole week that we have of this little gap in here, which also is exactly why I hate those like NFL memes tweets where it's like, this is the last Thursday without football until like January or whatever. It's like, yeah, but this one, like we get this Thursday doesn't have football. What about this one, man? And everybody forgets about it, but that's okay. We also got college football this weekend, by the way. If you're watching that, let me know below who you're rooting for. I'm an A&M fan myself. Got Notre Dame this week. Big one to start the season. Pumped about that. We got fan quesos. We'll dive into that next right here, Ram Showcase. Ram Showcase, Sheriff Joe Bags. Let's dive into fan quesos. This is where I answer your Rams-related questions. And we've got a bunch this week, which is absolutely awesome. I'm going to go. I don't want to like give people bad answers are too quick or anything like that. I'd like to spend some time on some quesos here. Ryan just put what looks like a homemade crunch wrap in queso or something like that, dude. Heck yeah, man. It's awesome. Love that. Like I said, we do have a good chunk of them today, but I'm you know what? We're not on time limits, dude. I'm not even syndicated this year. Let's go, dude. Although I kind of hope to be. Yeah, we'll see. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start on the Facebook page. We'll head over to YouTube after this, but this is actually exciting because we're starting with a whole round of quesos here coming from Jay. And Jay hasn't been around dropping quesos on us for like a long time. So Jay, first and foremost, dude, welcome back. Excuse me, Ram Showcase, fully back, as you know. And not only are we fully back on just Ram Showcase and on my side of this, but we're getting Jay asking quesos again, dude. This is awesome, man. I'm absolutely here for this, man. So let's go ahead and dive in. Fan quesos. We got 10 of them here coming from Jay. First one, who will be our starting inside linebacker to start the season, but who will end the season as our starter? Great question. I like how you tied that in, man. So I will say to start the season, I would rather see Roseboom. I think we see Reader. I think that Reader pulls his... his experience on the Rams here and ultimately sees the field a lot. But I also think Roseboom almost is like a starter too. I would prefer Roseboom, and if Roseboom is the starter over Reader, just know I'm happy about that. I'm not anti-Reader. I have been in the past, but you know what, man? I got no room for hate in here anymore, man. it's all love in here now, man. So hey, if you're a Ram, I got your back, bro. And that's kind of the thought process we're going in to the future with. But I would rather see Roseboom. But I think that's not as much of a comment on Reader as it is. I just really like Roseboom. I think he's underrated. I really do. I think that the way that he flies around, he does miss some tackles here and there, but also, I mean, who doesn't, man? So I don't know. I think that Reader will get the start, but I think over the course of the year, man, I think either Roseboom or Spates kind of starts to break out. I wouldn't be surprised if it's either, honestly, especially now you tell that entire room, hey, your captain's gone. Somebody stick out. And I mean, that's probably what's going to happen, right? We heard from McVay that part of the reasoning behind this was not only that Ernest Jones was missing out on some reps, but also that the guys that we have here were doing great. So it's like, hey, maybe we don't need to, like, maybe we can just go roll with these guys and we'll be okay. You know what I mean? So I like that. So I would look for somebody to kind of start popping off. So we'll see, like, week like 9, 10, 11 in that range that, like, we'll start to really kind of settle in come that time. Number two from Jay, with the extra funds now available after the Ernest Jones trade, do you see the Rams adding someone of note, or are we done until further noticed? Maybe Akello. We already had the opportunity to add in Akello with the injury of Darian Kendrick. We also got D-Will that had some stuff that he was dealing with, and Akello wasn't even considered as far as, I mean, we know. So no, I don't think Akello is coming back, which is unfortunate. I mean, yeah, dude had an awesome season, and Akello is such a cool name and also a great player. So I like him, but I don't think he's coming back to the Rams. And as far as adding a veteran to the defense or anything like that, you know what? Sean McVay's answer, I believed him when he was going through the players and he was saying, like, we've got leaders. We got Byron Young and Kobe Turner going into year two. We'll see what the rookies can do with, like, Fisk and Verse. He'd mentioned Lake. You bring in a Trey White. Cam Curl is awesome. Kinchin's coming in as a rookie. Looks really good as well. We got the experience at the inside linebacker spot with Roseboom and Reader and even Hummel. So we got guys on the defense that we can, or I mean, one of these guys, somebody is going to rise and be the leader of this defense. My guess is Quentin Lake, but I mean, we could see what happens there. But I would say I don't think the Rams make any big additions in that realm. Number three, did you see the Sean McVay interview after the trade? Seemed kind of testy, more than relieved. What do you think happened behind the scenes? Dude, I wish I could answer this question. I don't know. I have no idea. My only thing is that, like, the way that this is all unfolding and what we've known in the past, when you look at situations like Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, even Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, some of these guys where it was kind of like, okay, we got what we wanted out of you. See ya, like, you know, but it also, like, the way that McVay was talking kind of sounds like Ernest Jones was either maybe getting a little bit lazy. I don't want to say anything like I know anything for sure, because I don't, but maybe he was getting a little lazy. Maybe he kind of settled in on being like the captain, the team leader, and he kind of just, like, felt like he didn't need to do as much kind of thing. Like, that's kind of the vibe I was getting, is that that McVay was kind of like over it. And when you're in that kind of situation, that player and a 6-4 or 5 is about all you can get. All right. Let's just be real. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, when you're done with a player and they're not going to play for you this year, you get kind of burned. And also, I think it's worth noting that you get other teams that are just way louder about this kind of stuff. And as much as I am frustrated by the fact that we got this news kind of seemingly out of nowhere, well, at least we're not dealing with the Brandon Ayuk situation, all right? Which sounds like miles more frustrating than just hearing Ernest Jones it has permission to seek a trade. The next day, it's like, oh, no, that, he didn't ask for a trade, but we are having conversations about the trade. Then the next day, he's gone. Dude, easy peasy, dude. Get that out of here. Get that out of here, man. But, like, you deal with the Brandon Ayuk situation, that's garbage, man. That, comparatively, if you look at the Ernest Jones situation and the Brandon Ayuk situation, give me the Ernest Jones situation all day, every day. all the time, dude, for sure. That IU situation, I hate that situation. I have nothing to do with it. It's not my team. It's just a rival of my favorite team that I cover. And I am so sick of hearing about it. I can't even begin to tell you how much I hate that situation already. And it doesn't even involve me. It doesn't even matter. But either way, that's I would say, as far as what happened behind the scenes, something, man. Something happened behind the scenes. This kind of stuff doesn't just happen out of nowhere. And you're right, McVay was a little testy. He wasn't, and he didn't seem like that, like, you know, Ernest, he just did so much for us, but we wanted to do this for him or whatever. Like, it was, we became a better football team. What do you take that as? How do you interpret that? Like, I loved it, I'll be honest. I think getting some real human emotions out of Sean McVay was a little relieving, actually. Number four, who are your top five quarterbacks in the NFC? And why is number one Stafford? Number one Stafford because he is the best quarterback in the NFC. I don't think you could really argue that. I mean, you can pound the table on some guys all you want to, a Jalen Hurts, but I disagree. A Dak Prescott, I disagree. He is. He just is the most talented quarterback in the NFC. He's the most experienced. He's the most decorated. You say this comment you put that emoji on there where it's like it's kind of like a whatever. But no, you're right. I mean, it is Matthew Stafford. He is the best quarterback in the NFC. If we're going past that, I'm going to break this one right now. Purdy is not on that list. All right. I have not seen Purdy do something where I'm like, oh my God. Like, he just, I don't know. And maybe that's my royal and soul colored glasses that I'm looking through here. But because that's absolutely possible. Top five in the NFC, though. Okay. So I am putting Dak in the top five, and I'm not going to go super hardcore on these. So I'm just going to kind of try to just brain power this repeat. I did not read your questions ahead of time. So yes, Stafford definitely won. I do put Dak in there. I would put, geez, dude, there is some bad quarterbacks in the NFC. What the hell? Man, that's a hard one, actually. Hurts, I would put in there, but I also just don't. I feel like to this year especially, he takes a big step back. I almost feel obligated to put a Cousins in there, even though I just don't really think he's, I think he's just such a good quarterback, not like a great or anything. Dude, tough question, actually. Why is the NFC, that was the easiest one. Stafford at number one. Dude, I'm having a hard time picking a number five. Because that's what kind of where I slotted in a Prescott. Tough question. I'm going to move on. Number five. Do you think Kobe Turner replicates his stats from last season, or does he take a step back without AD in the fold to command double and triple teams? That's actually a really good question, and we will have to wait and see how that unfolds. But what I will say is this is the first time maybe since the St. Louis days of having Chris Long and Robert Quinn outside of Aaron Donald that we've actually had two really strong edge rushers. We've had good edge rushers, but having a pair of good edge rushers, something we haven't seen in a long time, and something that Donald never got to see in Los Angeles. So for that reason, I will say that Kobe Turner definitely is good enough, talented enough, works hard enough, and hungry enough to replicate his stats from last year, even losing an Aaron Donald right next to him. Number six from Jay, who do you see having the biggest positive/negative impact on the defense this year? Ooh, that's a good question, man. Positive impact, I'm going Cam Curl because I don't think not enough people are talking about the defensive addition of Cam Curl on the Rams defense. I think that's absolutely huge, man. I really do. Cam Curl, for sure. Negative impact, I don't know if I can even really answer that because I've not once gone into this show being like, who's going to do terrible? So you know what, man? No, on the, based on my comment from a previous where we're going positive, I'm just going to go positive, man. I'm going to go Cam Curl. I think Trey White also brings a lot to this defense this year, as far as the leadership role, especially. Number seven from Jay, long-term view here. Long-term. Okay. Gurley got paid. Rams regretted it afterwards due to injuries. Kyren seems to have lingering injuries too. Do you foresee the Rams paying him, trading him, or letting him walk? Corum is already waiting to take over, I feel. I mean, I don't feel that way yet because we haven't seen him in a regular season game. We need to watch him in live action first on an NFL field because he didn't get preseason reps either. So I want to see it in real time. You know what I mean? We think so, and I'm pretty confident in it, but we don't know yet. As far as Kyren, I fully anticipate that he walks. I mean, that's just the running back position is not a position you pay. There's a few that you just don't put big money into. The Rams did kind of change their tune on interior offensive line, but I think a big part of that was like, you know, bad season after Super Bowl win and stuff like that. Of like, oh, you do really need interior on your line. Tight ends, though, aren't going to get big money from the Rams. Linebackers, not going to get big money from the Rams. Safety, not going to get big money from the Rams. And running back, yeah. So you're absolutely right. I think that there are so many good running backs that you don't need to pay them. In fact, Kyren Williams, who I'm a big fan of, I don't think it's impossible that the Rams keep him around, but I don't think it's going to be a deal where we're like, oh my gosh, they paid him that. Like, I don't think it's going to be like, oh wow, we only paid him that. Like, I think it'd be one of those situations because running backs don't get paid. And the reason they don't get paid is because A, there's a billion of them. And also, yeah, you're absolutely right. The Todd Gurley situation, that burned us so bad, dude. So you go ahead and just let him go. Let him walk. You don't need anything for him. Maybe you try to pull your less need special. You send Kyren in a 7 for a 6 and then let the other team pay him kind of thing. Because that's also the mindset with those trades, by the way. It's not just player picks, whatever. It's also like future money. Where are we going to, who, like, is there anybody on our roster that we do feel good about? A quorum in this situation? So that kind of would lead me to believe that Kyren probably plays out his rookie deal and then takes off. Next question, number 8 from Jay. Favorite players on offense and defense this year? Who are you most looking forward to seeing play? I am super pumped to see Colby Parkinson play. I'm also really excited to see what Jonah Jackson does on the offensive line. Really excited to see what DeMarcus Robinson does, especially the way he ended last season was very, very hot. So excited to see what that does along with a healthy Cup and Puka coming into the year. Puka, we figure, is going to be healthy. He is kind of getting worked back in. Cup, though, totally healthy, which is going to be huge. On defense, I'm pumped for Trey White. I'm pumped for Cam Curl. I'm pumped for Cam Kitchens. I am pumped for Kobe Turner. I'm pumped for Jared Verse, Byron Young, Braden Fisk, Tyler Davis. Like, I am excited for so many people. As far as favorites, though, I haven't really nailed down my favorites yet. We're still Jordan Fuller for president until otherwise noted. But there's definitely plenty of options to go with there. I haven't picked, though, yet. I want to see some guys play in real action before I, like, really tie in my, like, that's my favorite player. I like to think, like, I like having a favorite player. I think that's fun. I think it's a fun little thing to do. It kind of makes being a Rams fan kind of gets, it kind of sucks me back into being a child, you know what I mean, as far as, like, a Rams fan. I'm like, oh, it's my favorite player. Like, I think that's so fun. So, like, I realize that a lot of people think that that's stupid or whatever, and that's fine. You can think it's stupid. I'm still going to pick a guy and then just, like, kind of pound that drum a little too hard. It's kind of my thing, you know? Mark Barron for president, dude. So good stuff. As far as favorites, though, we'll wait. Fan Queso number 9. Let's see. Swishing and balling. He's Tay Awesome. Swish. I'm balling. I love that, by the way. Yeah, boy, Tavon retired this offseason. Loved him on our team. That swag. Underutilized, though. What was your favorite Tay Awesome Rams moment? Oh my gosh, that's so hard. Dude, I loved Tavon. And when the Rams got Sean McVay, I was thrilled because I was like, oh my gosh, Tavon's about to go off now, dude. Obviously, it didn't work out. Ended up trading him to Dallas. I mean, obviously, that Indy game was huge. The punt return against Seattle, everybody talks about. Gosh, dang, man. I think there's one, I don't even know the opponent. I'd have to look into it a little bit more. The first time he did that little dance, man, that was that play. Why can I not remember who it was? That one was so sick though, man. Those end arounds. Oh, okay. There was also, I'll give you this one because I do want to give you an answer because I'm basically being super vague here. I will say this rookie season, for Tavon, the Rams at the Broncos in the preseason. I was there by myself because my brother-in-law left. I had painted my face. I had a Daryl Richardson sign that I was holding, face painted, absolute crazy. And I'm in the 500s by myself in Denver, right? And Tavon Austin had a punt return in that game that was just so electric. Where that was the moment where he caught it on like the side close to me on the Rams sideline. and then kind of cut it back and went around and got a really, really solid gain. Didn't go to the house, but got a really, really solid gain. And that was my moment of seeing him in person with my own eyeballs in the preseason of his rookie year, being like, oh my gosh, like this guy, this might be something. Never found his traction, but I was always a huge fan. I've got my Tavon jersey in here. Always love Tavon, man. So yeah, when he announced his retirement, I definitely was like, oh man, like it was one of those where it's like, oh man, that's my guy, you know? So pumped when the Rams drafted him and Ogletree in the first round that year. That was so exciting, man. But yeah, Tay awesome, man. Ah, swish. That's exactly what I posted, man. As soon as he retired, that's all I said was swish. Tavon, you're the man. And the last one here coming from Jay. No question here. Oh, I lied. You lied. Just wanted to thank you for all you do. Oh, dude, look forward to your shows. Dude, man. Oh, now I'm going to be all thankful, man. That's super cool, man. I'm pumped to, first of all, be back doing Ram Showcase. I really miss this. I'll tell you this, I already really miss the radio station, but I did really miss this as well. And that makes me want to do more here because I was on six nights a week at the radio station, and this is a once a week show. So I want to kind of incorporate some more as well. So we'll kind of see how it all unfolds, man. But I'm pumped to be back, pumped to be, the timing of me coming back, getting into a season is incredible. Couldn't have asked for anything better there, and just pumped to also have a core of fans that are sticking with me. I was talking to Payo in Rams House today of like, I don't even look at my analytics. I have no idea how many people listen or watch me because I don't really care, man. This show is about the love of the Rams. I like to talk about the Rams, and I like to talk about the Rams with people who like to talk about the Rams or hear about the Rams, and that's you. And I don't know. It's just, it's fun for me. This is my way of unleashing all my Rams knowledge. I get an extra room in my apartments so that I can set this all up and still have a bedroom. that's how much I love this, man. And so I'm just happy to be back, man. So, hey, but first, thank you. Genuinely, man. Thank you. That means a lot to me, man. Hearing words from people about, you know, who especially people who've been around this show for a really long time, man. It'll never not mean the world to me. Honestly, I love it. It's the community is my favorite part. Numbers, I don't care, man. I don't care if there's 1,000 people listening. I'd rather have 5 hardcore people listen to me who I like and who like me and who we interact well and like give me and enjoy this all. They'll enjoy the whole process, man. That's way better to me. Next string here coming from Cody. Cody back in action as well, dude. Welcome back in. Do you think Tavon Austin? Dude, two Tavon questions? Yo, that's kind of sick. Do you think Tavon Austin could have been a bigger NFL star if drafted to another team when he was drafted? One of my favorite players for sure. So, I mean, I do think that at the time he was drafted, because we were in the Jeff Fisher realm, that he probably would have been better off starting his career somewhere else. Probably like a Philly, something like that. Teams that really utilize that skill set well and have a history of utilizing that skill set well. Kansas City would have been a great spot for Tavon. But I think that ultimately the timing was messed up, in fairness, because I really do think that Sean McVay with Tavon could have been so electric. Like if we would have given that a real chance, I think that would have been extremely electric. So yes and no, man. Mainly yes though. Next question from Cody. How long till you expect a starting role for Tyler Davis, or at least for him to take Bobby Brown's spot, at least on the depth chart, considering I believe his contract is coming up anyway? Great question, actually. I don't see him getting above Brown as long as Brown is on this roster. I think that Brown is getting dramatically better. And if you don't believe me, man, go back and watch. Get NFL Plus. It's not that expensive. And I use that way more than I use like Netflix and stuff. But get NFL Plus. Go watch the first 5 games of the season last year. Tell me that you don't think Bobby Brown's a great player, man. That guy, I mean, I think he was in a position group where it was like, I mean, behind Aaron Donald and Kobe Turner, like, yeah, you're probably not getting talked about a lot. Dude was making plays, though. I mean, he did his job. He played a Michael Brockers role, which, yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. I think he's doing great. I see your next question here is, do you see the Rams re-signing Bobby Brown? Not necessarily, although I do think he's doing a very good job. So, but as far as Tyler Davis breaking into the starting lineup, that's going to be years out, man. simply put, we got Kobe Turner, we got Braden Fisk, we have Bobby Brown right now. It would be years until we saw Tyler Davis kind of take that role on, I think. Next one here, we're going to mute that. Let's see here. What does it say for Tutu Atwell that Kyren Williams is our punt returner, as you would think that that would be a good fit for Tutu? Is that a shot at McVay's confidence for Tutu this season, for or against? I did not talk about this. I meant to put this in my notes about Kyren being the punt returner. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I know that, you know, there's people sitting there. It's like, yeah, but he's got an injury history and that's a position that gets hurt. First of all, not really punt returners. Punt returners don't really get hurt that often. Obviously, you're in a position where you're getting hit. But hey, guess what? This is football. And you're in a position to get hit every single time there's a live ball on the field. You could get smashed. You know what I mean? Injuries, I don't get emotional about injuries. I don't really care. And that, not to say that I want injuries or am like pleased when people go down or whatever. But this is such an aggressive game. It just happens. It's going to happen. People are going to get hurt. That's just part of it, man. It's like, I mean, I get as emotional about an injury as like a fumble, because it's like, well, I don't want that to happen, but it's gonna. We're going to fumble some footballs this year. We're not going to be perfect. So I don't think that it's a shot at 2-2. I think it's a plus for Kyren. I think it's a vote of confidence for Kyren. And also, let's not pretend like Kyren is like, he couldn't be like, dude, no. Like, I don't think any players would be like doing that right now to this this Rams team, especially with the Ernest Jones stuff going. They'd leave. Like, I think that Tutu is going to be the kick returner, and I do think that the Rams have a plan to get him more involved on the offensive side of the football. So I think that's a thing there, and also the factor Kyren Williams is he's got Blake Corum and Ronnie Rivers behind him. So I hate to say the words that he's more expendable now, but I mean, he is. I mean, simply put, it's business. Business decisions got to be made. Kyren Williams is a punt returner. And again, I think that Kyren Williams is electric, dude. I'm pumped about this. I understand how your brain goes from like, oh my God, Kyren Williams is our punt returner. What if he gets hurt? I realize that that's how a lot of people's brains operate. My brain operates in a complete opposite way, where my brain went to like, Kyren Williams is our punt returner. Dude, we're getting like 6 returns this year. How exciting. Like, that's literally where my brain went. So, I mean, there's that part. Yeah, I think I answered your question. I do have to change out my battery here soon, so we'll do that here in a second. But I'll answer one more question from Cody before we move on. I change that out real quick. How do you feel about the new kickoff rules? And if they should move it to 35 or moving the kicker back, just because the current layout should predict a lot of touchbacks in this format too. Do you predict a change soon/in season or before next year, as you want the full season played as the same rules? Horns up. So first of all, we don't really have a good understanding yet of how this kick is going to work. I don't think any team was genuinely utilizing the preseason as a way to say, this is how we want to run this. So we don't know that at all. So, I mean, in fairness, I can't really answer that question yet, but I do think that it will change. But I think those changes will be extremely minor, and we'll see them next year. I think we see a full season, though, of the current kickoff rules, which I don't love, but also, again, we don't know. What if we, you know, house the opening kickoff for a touchdown, and we're like, yo, actually, this kickoff rule rocks. So there's always that part of it. I'm going to change my battery real quick. We'll continue on with Gary's question next. Moving on. Next question here coming from Gary. Expectations for Omar Spates and Jake Hummel. Interesting two choices there, man. Interesting two choices there, mainly because of the words we got from Sean McVay, where he basically was saying that Troy Reader and Christian Rose Boom are kind of the guys. So my expectations for Omar Spates is that we probably see him a lot less than we want to as fans this year, considering the hype that we are experiencing around his name so far in the preseason. So I do think that there is something to be said about that. Jake Hummel, I probably a special teams guy, probably not getting a whole lot of reps on the defensive side. I think that Reader and Roseboom are our main defensive guys when it comes to the inside linebacker spot. And Neil, I think, will kind of also, I feel like Neil starts kind of an inactive guy, But we'll see how those practices and stuff like that are going in season, and if he's able to wiggle his way into there. But interesting two names to pick there as far as Omar Spates and Jake Hanwha. I'm sure you did that on purpose, Gary, but I think that Roseboom and Reeder are the more notable inside linebackers to talk about as we enter the season. Edwin, emphasis on the win. A lot has happened this past week. Dude, sure, that's a mouthful right there. In the Rams organization, from Looney losing Ernest to announcing Kyren Williams as our punt returner. Given the recent events, does this make you think the Rams are serious in reaching the Super Bowl this year? Yes. Absolutely. I don't think that Ernest Jones takes us from being a Super Bowl contender to not at all. No one player does that unless it's like a Matthew Stafford. I think that if Matthew Stafford goes down, yeah, we're probably not going to win a Super Bowl this year. We don't have the talent on the bench, all right? With Ernest Jones and the way that the Rams value the inside linebacker spot, there's a reason for it. And I would say, you barely got these in, by the way, man. I see these were just in a couple minutes ago, but I don't think that Jones moves the needle that much on us, especially, I'm more on the McVay side of this now. Like, as time's gone on, because when this news got announced, I was like, yo, what? Like, this is the first time that I've actually been like, what are we doing? But then kind of just taking a second, listening to things, listening to people talk, stuff like that. That's kind of where I pulled back a little bit, and it was like, okay, there's more that we don't know. And who the hell am I to form an opinion on a situation that I don't fully understand? So, you know what? I'm a Rams fan, not a player fan. Players come and go. The Rams are forever. So I've got the Rams side on this one, and I kind of just always will. I realize that not everybody's like that, and there are definitely some content creators and stuff like that that will kind of target the Rams and stuff like that, but I'm here for the love of the game, dude. I'm just here to have a good time, celebrate the Rams, and push some storylines along, dude. but yeah, I don't think it moves the needle. We don't go from being a Super Bowl contender to not because Kyren Williams is our punt returner and Ernest Jones is a Titan. I just don't see it. And Kyren Williams is our punt returner. Dude, watch him house like three win the first five games, and no one's going to be complaining. Maybe he gets hurt. Maybe he doesn't. It's football. People get hurt. I don't know. It sucks. I don't love to see it. I don't root for it, but injuries happen. But again, and I just said this, like, I get why people's brains go immediately to like, Kyren Williams is our punt returner. What if he gets hurt? But that's just not how my brain operates. And I'm not here to say that you're wrong and I'm right, or that I'm, or the opposite of that. I'm here to just say my brain went to like, yo, that's sick. Kyren Williams is electric, dude. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be fun to watch. Immediately, that's where my brain goes. So I don't know. Maybe I'm the weird one here. Probably. What rookie in the defense do you think will have the biggest impact this year, and why? That would be Cam Kitchens is my pick. I do think that Jared Verse has a very solid impact, but I think Kitchens, I think there's something up with Kitchens that we are not aware of yet in the good way. I think that there's some excitement involving Kitchens that the league and the fans do not quite know about yet, but I do feel like that is something that is very known and understood in those hallways. Next up here, when we reach the Super Bowl this year, who is the AFC opponent we face? Great question here, man. So when we're taking the field in New Orleans, I would say our AFC opponent... Who did I put money on? I put money on somebody. I have a few bets already in, some futures stuff for a Super Bowl and all that. But here's one. I'm gonna ruin your life right now, okay? Take this journey with me real fast. I'm going to give you not only our AFC opponent, but our NFC championship opponent and their AFC championship opponent. I am going to say that the Baltimore Ravens defeat the Kansas City Chiefs in Baltimore to go to the Super Bowl, while the Rams take down the Washington Commanders in the NFC championship game at home, SoFi Stadium, to head over to New Orleans, where we have a Ravens versus Rams Super Bowl. Probably not correct, but I'm a lot higher on the Commanders than most people are. I just think that they've built themselves a pretty good little squad out there quietly. get a new coach in. You bring in guys like Bobby Wagner and Austin Eckler, and I mean, they got some players out there, man. So I'm actually like, they're a team that I think is going to be one of those teams that kind of pops that not a lot of people are expecting. I've kind of tried to catch these trends over the years of being like, because there's always like some teams that we have no idea they're going to pop off. That was kind of us last year. And like, you just have no clue that who's going to pop off. And then and then after it happens, you can kind of look back and be like, oh yeah, we should have seen that though. They're actually pretty good. Like, and Washington is one of those teams for me. Ravens though, I think that they do get over that hump. And the Chiefs, dude, to do it again, I think would be absolutely insane. But also, and I realize too, Rams fans probably will hate this comment. The reason that I think it would be cool if the Chiefs won, the only reason I think it'd be cool if the Chiefs won is that he would get the nickname Hat Trick Mahomes, and that's pretty sick. All right, that's it. That's cool. Okay, that's just me being a sports fan, not necessarily only a Rams fan, because I think that's really cool. Let's head over to the YouTube channel here for our last string of questions. I mean, I don't have a time limit. I'm the boss here. Let's keep on rolling, dude. So there is one question I did want to save here. Okay, so that's gotcha there. Okay, we're going to save. Okay, we're just going to go. How about that? First one here from Rams House. Well, back and forth between Peo and Rams House. Rams House says, what is your favorite episode of Rams Showcase you've ever had? Like one of those episodes you just loved putting together / felt great about how you conveyed your opinions. This is such a good question, dude. I will say ultimately, like, I have had shows that I feel good about, shows that I end and I'm like, okay, I did a good job that one. But I've never felt great about a show. Like, I feel good about some stuff that I've said or anything like that. But as I'm doing the editing process, I'm always looking back and being like, oh, I should have said that this way. Or if I would have said that first, this would have made more sense. Or I should have just taken that part out, you know? That happens a lot. But I like to keep this of a moving deal. I don't like to get a bunch of cuts in here. I realize the YouTube standard is just go ahead and chop it all up, but I don't like to do that. I like to let it flow, you know? But I would say probably my Super Bowl preview show, going into that game against the Bengals, that was just top notch, dude. I like being able to do a Super Bowl, two Super Bowl preview shows for the Rams on Rams Showcase is extremely exciting. But that one specifically, it just felt so good going into that game for a lot of reasons. But yeah, I mean, that one just felt really, really solid. So, and obviously the content in that, when you're previewing a Super Bowl that you end up winning, it's pretty dope. Payo time. You are asked to host a show, Extreme Home Makeover Rams Edition. You and your team go to Rams fans' houses and deck out rooms in Rams merch. You can have your own sheriff station. The Rams ask you to pick three players to serve as special guests. One current Ram, one past Ram not in the Hall of Fame, and one past Ram in the Hall of Fame. Ooh, that's a good question here, Payo. Current Ram, who I think would just be awesome for this. Let's go with... I'm going to go with Kupp. And I think that's because Cooper Kupp would rein me in. Cooper Kupp would... He would wrangle my brain in to be like, hey, let's stay in budget. How about, you know, because I would just be like, what if we got a real Ram and put it out, you know, like, what if we robbed a zoo and get like, you know, and so he would be like, hey, let's not commit felonies. How about let's just make a cool room, you know? So he would keep me in line. One past Ram not in the Hall of Fame. Give me Keith Nolte. No, I'm just kidding. Great answer, but we're not going to go with Keith Null. Give me Steven Jackson, man. I think Steven would be the perfect pick there. I don't know if he'll ever make the Hall of Fame. I kind of hope so, but I also don't think so. I don't know. But I would go with Steven Jackson, man. SJ was my guy, man. I became a Rams fan because of Marshall Faulk, but when I really started learning football and falling in love with it, we were the Steven Jackson show for sure by then. On one past Ram in the Hall of Fame, give me Bruce, dude. Bruce, give me the Rev, man. Oh, absolutely. It says, who are you picking and what room of a house are you most interested in decking out? So, yeah, I'm going Cooper Kupp, Steven Jackson, and Isaac Bruce. Those are my picks. And as far as the room I'm most interested to set up, it's got to be the Ram Cave, dude. Or if somebody's got a studio set up, I would love to do that, man. That'd be super, super fun. But wherever you're watching Rams games, that's the room, man. That's the room. We got to make sure that vibe is perf, dude, perf. Next from Rams House. Do you think Puka starts off the year slow? I'm hoping that I'm wrong about this. What are you saying right now, Rams House? but I'm getting a similar feeling to Kupp missing time last year in camp. Granted, he missed much more than Puka. Fair. And was not quite on the same page as Stafford slash started slower. You're right there. I think Puka will be good to go physically, but for some reason, I feel like the bit of time he missed may contribute to a slower start than what could have been the case. Offensively, we should still be very good to start with a sheer amount of talent we have. Yes, straight up. That's kind of my point, is my answer as I'm thinking of as I'm reading your question. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were some miscues and things to iron out between Puka and Stafford. I'm not sure if there's going to be necessarily miscues or things to iron out between those two, but I would say that we have so many weapons, somebody's going to start slow. They all can't start hot. Somebody's got to. And Puka is going to have a lot of eyeballs on him this year, dude. He had an incredible rookie season. A lot of attention is going to be put on Puka, which I think in turn, because I kind of feel the same way a little bit about like that Puka will not have the same numbers he had last year. I've kind of felt that way this whole offseason, but I don't like to say those words because Rams fans hate that. And I also hate it. But Cooper Kupp, I think being healthy and the way that he's coming into this season, I think he's going to start off hot. So I think that's going to be critical there. But also D-Rob, Tutu Atwell, I mean, we've got players, man. So you're absolutely right in that sense of just... So not everybody can start hard. Start hot. Next one here. I'm kind of getting the vibe that Big Rob will miss week one. With that being said, how confident do you feel about Warren McClendon starting at right tackle? I only hear great things out of camp and seen some good stuff in preseason. It's obvious it's not the situation we want, but I feel pretty good about Boom at left tackle, Warren at right tackle. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Either way, their hands are full with Aiden up in Detroit. But also the starters would have their hands full with Aiden up in Detroit. So I think that ultimately we're going to help out our tackles schematically with a game plan in this game than me being worried about the tackles, because simply put, I mean, it's another thing. You get the lameness of the AJ Jackson situation and then Havenstein, kind of getting some bruises, in camp. But, I feel fine with McClendon starting at right tackle. He's got enough years in him now where it's actually like a good point where like, yeah, we need to know, man. Like, are you good or not? Also, I've got another battery dying, so I'm going to plow through the rest of these. I can't keep doing this, man. I think I need new batteries is what I'm thinking here. Let's see. What would it be like sharing a room with Cam Kitchens? Dude, I don't know Cam Kitchens enough right now. I will say that. I will confidently say I don't know that. I don't have an answer for this one yet. Come back on Cam Kitchens in like week 6. That's a tough one. Rookies are always hard, though, man. We don't know them well enough yet. And I don't want to not answer your questions here. I don't want to do a bad job, but my camera's going to die. And if it does, I'm out of batteries. So so then we go a cappella or whatever. Let's see. You have one question to ask Sean McVay during one of his pressers. It is not that question that dude asked about Jones. How does this make your football team better, though? Like, what? Dumb question, man. Come on, man. That one, as soon as it was asked, I was like, oof. And then Sean McVay's response was like, yeah, it's the only way you can ask more to him in the future is if it's a good question. Ooh, what question is it? Oh, man. What question do I ask Sean McVay? And it hinges on me being able to ask more questions in the future. I don't have a general. It would have to be specific on when this question is being asked. What situation are we in? It's too open, man. It's too open, but it would be something like I would think about it though. I would go in there with not a ridiculous question of like, can you talk about if when somebody starts a question, a press conference thing with talk about, I immediately am like, this person has no idea what they're doing. I hate that so much. Talk about, oh, I hate that, dude. It drives me up a wall when somebody starts a press conference question like that. Like, no. What do you think? Like, what? What do you think about that? talk about why. What do you want to know, man? Ask me a question. Like, gosh, I hate that. So also don't have a question or an answer for that one, man. We're nailing this right now. Travis Rogers on ESPN, this is from Payo Time, said this week that the Rams are a team that does not like noise. What are your thoughts on the way the Rams dealt with the EJ contract situation compared to how some other teams have a PR wars with players? Cough, cough, 49ers. Dude, I can't believe I brought that full circle. Talking about that one, man. Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. I 1,000%. The way that the Rams handled the EJ contract and trade situation, I suppose, is more what it is. I don't know if that was a contract situation. I would take that a billion times before we ever handle one Brandon Ayuk situation. I also think the Rams in the Ayuk situation would have been like, you know what, then go. Get out of here, dude. Like, I feel like we would have at some point been like, you clearly don't want to be here that bad. Where do you want to go, man? We'll facilitate. I just feel like the Rams wouldn't have put up with it for that long. And last one here, come from Rams House. It's 15 years down the road. Sean McVay decides to step away from coaching and gives you the reins at head coach. Hell yeah, Sean. Good call. All the key members of the Rams roster are gone, and the Rams give you a generous 12-year window to build a team. What's your team build strategy, and what kind of offense/defense do you construct? Please go in depth on this one. I'm not going to be able to do that. Actually, you know what, man? I had just mentioned to one of you that I was not going to push any questions to next week. This one, I think I want to think about this. And I've got some other questions in here that I kind of need to think about, I think. So I'm thinking, dude. That's where the smoke is coming from. So this one, and you, because you want me to go in depth here, I am going to push this one next week. This will be my first queso next week. So when we get into our full game preview, Detroit Lions, Los Angeles Rams, week one, this will be the first queso that we dive into, man. I think that's what I'm going to go ahead and do. That sounds perfect, in my opinion. If you disagree, well, you can't really refute it because I've already made up my mind. So there's that part of it. Thank you, though, for your quesos, dude. You guys nail your quesos, man. Everybody, man. I mean, the way that Jay's coming back in, that is so sick. Pumped about that. Edwin always comes in with some fire. Cody always comes in with some fire, man. So getting pumped back into it, man. I'm super excited about this season, man. So again, next week, I said last week that we were going to have some guests. Obviously jumped ahead of myself. Do have some guests coming in next week. Kurt Steele, I did talk to him. We'll figure out a time to get our recording in and all that stuff. But we'll be talking to him as this game creeps up. And we were texting about this game. And I stopped responding because I was like, this is all good content. It's like, and I can't just post up our text thread as content because that's so garbage. So it's like, let me rein this back in. We're going to have this conversation on a stream, Kurt. We're going to have this one on a stream. So that's going to be fun stuff. But at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags, that's where you follow on your favorite social media. RamShowcase.com. If you are interested in dumping your thoughts out in written word about the LA Rams, hit me up, man. Let's see what we can figure out in that realm. Other than that, we're taking the week off, of course, as no football games going on this week. And hopefully we get a little bit quieter in terms of the Rams news as we dive into the season. So we're creeping up on it. And congratulations, we made it. We made it all the way through the offseason. We made it all through the way through training camp. We made it all the way through preseason. We are here, dude. Regular season, pumped about it. And hey, this is going to be a fun year, all right? I already feel like this year is going to be something that we talk about for a long time. And I'm not sure in what capacity. I'm excited to find out, though, and take this journey with you and all the other Rams fans, man. This is going to be a fun one for sure. So getting some similar hype in terms of the 2021 season of like, oh, wait, this one feels different. Like, it's good. Also, the pivot. Cooper Kupp was on there. Incredible. Absolutely worth a listen. Definitely check that out. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Beggs. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fan-Sided Network. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for watching, and go Rams.
Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.